Hey everybody, it's Tarika. We're in episode number 9 and this is a conversation with Joni Craigie. Everybody, welcome to the Dr. Tarika Show, helping you maximize your performance and find deeper fulfillment in life. How? By giving you content to help you grow, speak, and lead. Now today, we have another inspirational conversation served up for you. At the end of 2018, I met a young lady from EY who asked me to deliver an emotional intelligence training session for millennial leaders. Now, I said yes to that, and it went really, really well. Emotional intelligence, by the way, is all about being, well, an awesome person. It's about knowing yourself, behaving yourself, and getting on with others. So important if you want to make it in your personal and professional life. Now, I noticed how bubbly this young lady was and how she loves to connect others together. So I really wanted to ask more about her story and where she got this skill set from. So by way of introduction, she grew up in Orkney. She lived on an island with just 60 people. There were only 5 pupils in her primary school. Here in Aberdeen, she had to bounce back from redundancy in her early 20s. And now she thrives as a people person, connecting emerging leaders and facilitating their growth in emotional intelligence. This is a conversation with Joni Craigie. I have an ultra bubbly guest on the show today.
Trying to laugh too much.
Joni, so good to have you.
Thank you for inviting me to your podcast. I'm pretty excited to share my story with you.
Thank you. It's so good to have you. Now, for all those that haven't met you yet, why don't you just tell everyone who you are and what you do?
Sure. Obviously, I'm Joni Craigie. So I work here at EY, or you might know it as Ernst & Young. So a day-to-day job, I do things like events, social media, comms, project management for reports, design and digital briefs for website, things like that. And I'd also lead, obviously this is how we met, EY's Connect Emerging Leaders programme. So it's a programme that I run to about three, four times a year. Put on these dinner with series with a guest, and obviously you were a last guest, on emotional intelligence. And it's a chance for also EY people to network with others outside the business. And also we develop ourselves a personal development program with different topics and things that everyone, that kind of age group, so younger age group, that is maybe struggling with or want to develop more. So we kind of grow with others outside EY as well. So that's probably one of my favourite parts of what I do, essentially.
Sure. And I'm guessing that that's got something to do with working with people, right?
Yes, it's everything to do with people, I suppose. it's developing me as well as others, and getting to meet people as well, the same age group as you, the same stage in their career as you, but just not the same company. And I think as well that you're maybe a bit more likely to be more open with ones that you don't sit beside every day as well, and just discuss like any kind of issues you've had in the workplace, or any, just sharing like best practice or any experiences as well, and learn from each other. So
sure. And you haven't always been in Aberdeen, isn't that right?
That's correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about
So my background is an interesting one. So I'm originally from Orkney, although you might be deceived my accent because I don't have the accent at all.
I was in Orkney this week.
Oh, wow. Wow, okay.
I was in Orkney this week. I was up on Tuesday and Wednesday.
And you enjoyed it?
I did.
Would you go back?
I think, yes. I actually go recurrently. I go up every 3 months, and it's just such a nice island life out there.
It can be, but I think if you've grown up in a place I think it's the same for everyone, where you've grown up and known, for you, you're almost dying to get out or spread your wings and see the world, that kind of way. But I totally agree. I appreciate, I think, it more now, because obviously I moved away, moved to the big city. Aberdeen's a small city, but yeah. I think I appreciate it definitely more now when I go back and like, oh yeah, it's a really beautiful place. I've still got friends and family up there, and it is very very calming. I think it's good for your mental health probably a bit as well. And you just kind of totally zone out if you have a busy lifestyle or something as well. And that's what attracts people to Orkney, obviously. Yeah. A lot of ones from the cities go up there just to have a much quieter life. But yeah, I didn't even grow up on the mainland, so I grew up on one of the islands as well.
Okay.
So the population is, I think it's even lower now, actually. It was 60 when I was growing up, so small. I went to 60 people.
60
school.
People on an island?
Yep.
That was your home
overpopulated
life.
By sheep.
Really? Wow.
My primary school was about 5 at the most, I think, when I was there, and then it dropped down to 4 before I left. All different ages. There's no one. I didn't really know anyone my own age properly until I was about 11.
Did you just say your primary school had
5
people?
Yeah, 5 people.
A primary school of 5 people. Now I'm already finding your story interesting. So you've come from a background of living amongst a very small sheep, right? Living amongst sheep and a very small.
Yep.
Community of people, but here you are now thriving by being surrounded by people.
Maybe it's because I was so deprived of people when I was younger. So I'm like, yay!
or maybe it's actually you spent all that time training for a day such as this, maybe. You know, that you were building your personality, your character for being able to connect so well with people. Let's talk a little bit about your passion. When I met you last year in preparation for the emotional intelligence evening that we'd run together. I knew that you were a super bubbly person, but there was something about you that I could tell just captivates others. And there's something about you, you know, that you just really click well with folk and you can bring the best out in them. Tell us a bit more about your passion for working with people right now.
I don't know where it came from in a way. I think it's like almost like I kind of found myself. And when I started working at EY, I've been here 5 years, I was definitely much shyer. I would say definitely more reserved when I first started here. And then, because it's my first proper professional job outside of uni. And I kind of threw myself into different projects outside just my day-to-day role. So I got involved in social committee, got involved in charity committee, got involved in like every committee going.
You got involved.
I got involved, yeah, very busy. And then my confidence just built up, I think, over time because I put myself in situations where I was uncomfortable. Sure. I was like, not sure if I'm ready for this.
You did that on purpose?
Yes and no, but at the same time, I think I knew how important it was because if you stay as you are or within your own kind of fears or your own kind of self, you won't grow, you won't change.
So you've got to challenge yourself.
You've got to challenge yourself,
right,
yeah.
Right. It's so important, isn't it?
Yeah, so I knew that I just had to, even if I felt uncomfortable, I was like, just do it. You'll learn something about yourself. And then I start to really enjoy it. So, I started to really thrive on it. And I then became, I kind of realized that I preferred working in a team or in a group of people that all worked well together and all kind of were working with their strengths. Because teams, there's so many different skill sets in a team. And rather than get everyone to do one thing, it's kind of just realizing what made people tick or what inspired and what motivated them within a group. So I started to lead an innovation team about 2.5 years ago, something like that. So I joined just as a member.
Yeah.
So built up my confidence, got involved in different projects, and then I put myself forward to lead the team a year later.
Sure.
And to manage that team, I kind of looked to see what people's skill sets were, what would people seem to work well with, because it's so many different aspects. Mm. Okay, that person's very organized, that person loves to speak or project ideas, or that person would be great at writing, and just kind of putting that together. And I think it just started to kind of grow from there, and I was like, oh, this is actually what I'm really good at, is working with people and
amazing.
Building them up. I think maybe it is a bit of my background with I think that time to myself, I don't know, it just developed me. I think I became quite aware. I think also when I didn't meet anyone until I was like 11, I almost developed social skills later in life.
Okay.
Interesting enough.
Well, you had 5 in your primary school.
Yes, exactly. So I had to start from, scratch, basically, in terms of like what people my own age even speak about. I didn't even know that until...
I think that's really admirable, because it would have been easier to not push yourself, not try, not push, put yourself in the...
Out of
your comfort zone. And, you know, for those that are listening, and many are business owners and leaders, but some are thinking about starting, some are startup entrepreneurs, some people are on the brink of it, and actually, you know, challenges are common to man. People battle with fear. What goes on between their ears really matters. And there's a lot of those, I can't do this, what if it doesn't work, what if I fail, what if I look silly? But here's a great story where you went from actually finding, socializing, a bit of an unnatural and awkward thing to
I was socially awkward at school.
Really?
Interesting.
And I didn't know that. Yeah. And I couldn't have I couldn't tell.
Really socially awkward at school, really shy, really quiet. Took me quite a while to make friends. I don't know, I think it's almost like I think because I had to learn how people worked, I think I started to be really good at working with people, different people, because you know what I mean? It's like, it's because I had to work harder than other ones that maybe grew up with the same people from that were kids or...
Sure.
And I think it's made me be very good with others and understand others from different backgrounds or different personalities and how to make people the best they can be, as well as myself.
Amazing.
As well. So
amazing.
I think that's maybe why it's kind of maybe who I am.
That's an amazing story. It sounds like you've learned to navigate social relationships by being intentional, by actually thinking about how can I survive in this environment, but how do I thrive and how do I help others thrive?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you help people line up their strengths, find their strengths, and line them up together in a team so that weaknesses become irrelevant.
Yeah, I think because I know what it's like to feel uncomfortable, not feel part of a team or part of a group of people and feel an outsider.
Sure.
So I think it's, I can relate to others and naturally want them to, because I know how important it is. If you feel comfortable, you feel part of something or part of a team, then that person will do so much better.
Okay. So you're really passionate about creating connections.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
connections are important.
Yeah, connections are massively important.
And you really help facilitate that. And I saw that when I did the emotional intelligence dinner workshop, as it were. And I thought that you created a really lovely atmosphere around the table. There was maybe about 15, 20 young millennial leaders, emerging leaders. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this very thing, about knowing yourself,
emotional intelligence,
behaving yourself, and getting on with others. I could really see you creating that that atmosphere. So really, really good, really good. I'm really interested about defining moments. I'm really interested in defining moments. And I wonder if you have one or two that you'd like to share, defining moments in your story that's really contributed to who you are today and where you're going.
Obviously, I spoke about my background was kind of a defining moment, but in terms of something kind of more recent, or fairly recent, so I went to university, did 4 years at university, and did management marketing, loved it, was doing really well, got really good grades, came with the first class honours.
Wow, congratulations.
A lot of hard work. and then it's that expectations, like, yeah, life is rosy, things are all going to fall into place. I got a job secured before I even left uni. I think it was like May time. I think it was before I even sat my last exams. I was like, I'm great. Got my exams. Pretty much in a really good place. Started my job. And fairly quickly, it all kind of crashed.
Wow.
Quite quickly. Within the first month or two, realization was, this isn't for me. I was pretty miserable, I must say, after having 4 years, absolutely loved uni life, and I was like, what have I done? It was that kind of like,
goodness.
It just didn't fit with the team, the job didn't really fit me, it was just the lack of training as well. They're kind of throwing the deep end. I was like, here you go. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Totally out of my comfort zone. Completely just like... And
that's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a shock. Massive shock to the system, because you feel like... Not like you're guaranteed, but I think if you're doing well and it's that kind of expectation... obviously, young kids now, and everyone's so much, under so much pressure to do well.
It's true.
And
it's
you have true. That fear of failure.
Yes.
And you're like, don't want to let people down. And you're like, oh, how do I tell people that I'm struggling? Because people saw me as a high flyer at uni or doing really well.
I don't want to let myself down. I don't want to let mum and dad down. I don't want to let teachers down. Yeah. My mates down. Everyone's like, watching.
What am I going to do? And I carried on because I wanted to try to make it like, as much of a opportunities as I could. But yeah, I was really struggling, and thinking back, maybe I should have tried to get out or look for another job. I kept on because I didn't want to, yeah, let people down, basically. And then I got made redundant 6 months in, didn't pass my probation period, and that was it. So I was out the door in December, just before Christmas.
Oh my goodness.
Questioning, what did I do with my degree? Like, I made a total mistake, essentially. So that was a massive, massive shock, but... Here I am.
And here you are.
Now,
I've heard about this story before from you, but hearing it again, it still continues to strike me. We're both in the millennial gen bracket, and just the thought of being made redundant at so such young. A young age is unthinkable. I think that for many of us, we think about redundancy as something
later
that happens
on,
to folk later in their career.
Yeah.
That if you're around about your 20s and you're made redundant.
And your first job.
Yep. Is that scary?
Oh, it was terrifying. I was just like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do in my life? I'm going to have to go back to Orkney. I'm going to have to go with the sheep. It was like my first thought was like, I'm going to have to go back home.
I'm going to have to...
Yeah, pack it all up and I rethink about what I'm going to do. So
what happened?
So what did happen?
What happened in that pit that you were in?
So I was unemployed for about 2 months. And I thankfully had my flatmate at that current time, so one of my best friends, worked in recruitment. Mm-hmm. So
handy.
Very handy. I was like, this is a great connection. as it happened. And she was like, oh, Johnny, actually there's a part-time job going at my work. I'm gonna put a good word in for you. And I put it was like temporary work even, sorry. I'm going to put a good word in for you. It's just 2 months, 2 months contract, but something to put again on your CV, maybe get your foot in the door, build your confidence again, get money. Most importantly, you're in like less a year of uni, you're pretty skint. So, and then I went and had the conversation, went to the office, and they're like, yeah, well, based on the recommendation of your friend, you got the job within, I think it was about a week or something like that. It wasn't what I wanted to do at all, but... It was like, well, I'm learning new skills, I'm meeting new people, meeting new connections, I'm no longer sitting at home looking for jobs, like feeling sorry for myself. So it's like, I'm just going to do it. So I put myself in document control. Wasn't what I wanted to do at all, but team was lovely. Actually, I started off doing, it was just like a bit of paperwork, just to, I think to pass the, like help them out with like the build up of paperwork, basically, kind of be neglected. So it was just a bit of admin. And then they started to integrate me a bit more with like a bit of a harder task and things as well. So you're doing really well. Like, you're far too smart just to be sorted through all this like paperwork. And it was like putting in codes and things like that. So they started to kind of get me a bit more involved and working with the document tools, working with the engineers and a bit more. So basically what I initially set out to do at the job, they discarded because I started doing too well. Like there was like, well, you're too smart to do that.
Fab.
So it started to involve me more within that team. So
what a nice turnaround.
So it was also more money than what I was on before, but it was only temporary, I knew that. But she actually, my boss job started to see if I should get me made permanent.
Okay.
She was trying to get me in the team, but I knew it wasn't what I wanted to do, but I was like, well, I'll take what opportunities I have. I never know what I'm going to learn. But I was still looking for jobs at the same time I was working there. So I'd been there just about a month or two, I think just over a month. It was like a 3 month contract. And then I put my CV on various job sites, applied for many jobs, went for interviews, all that kind of malark at the same time as working there. You just get half day Friday, so every Friday afternoon I'd try to get a job interview in the go, in the diary. And then I happened to be away, actually, so I got a phone call from an agency based in London, Tate Agency. They called me up and were like, oh, so we found your CV on job site, I think it was.
Okay.
There's a position in Aberdeen, it's a marketing role, because obviously marketing is what I wanted to do still.
Yes.
Even though I also had a bad experience in a marketing role before.
Sure.
I was like, no, I want to try again, different environment, different company. Don't just give up on my 4 years of what I've been studying, what I've been passionate about. So I was like, okay, great, sounds good. It's only temporary. It's only 2 months contract. I was like, doesn't really matter. Get my foot in the door, learn a bit from new experience, meet new people. It's more what I want to do, similar to what job I was in, but in a marketing role.
Yes.
So came in, had an interview, I think, maybe even this room, as it turns out.
Right.
I had my interview. It was like a half an hour conversation with my now manager and boss. I think it was a Friday afternoon, and got a phone call on Monday saying you got the job.
Wow.
Basically, it was very, very quick. And then started a week later, because obviously I was on a temp, because it was just a week notice. So, and then I started here in April 2014. So yeah, it's only temp. So I was thinking, well, doesn't matter. I'm getting more experience, and this is what I want to do. So I was temp before anyway, so I had nothing to lose.
Okay.
And then yeah, started to build my way into the team. People started to know me, and then people started pushing for me to stay. Mm-hmm. Essentially, so my contract kept getting extended. Every 3 months, a 3 months kind of spell. It was never very secure. For a year and a half, I went on for a year and a half.
Wow.
On a temporary contract, every 3 months got extended. Every 3 months got extended. I was never having that security. I'm actually going to be here.
Was that anxiety provoking?
Yeah, it was. It was quite a nerve-wracking time, because if you're temp, you've only got a month's notice, a week's notice, even. Sorry.
Right.
So it was like, wow, I could be out the door at any time.
Okay.
But I knew I had to stick at it. Got myself involved in as much projects or teams and stuff as I could, and tried to make an impact.
Yes.
And I was like, no, you're keeping me.
Love your attitude. Love your attitude.
I was like, no, well, if you even extended my contract, like, surely you won't make me permanent, basically. So I kind of fought my corner. And eventually got the right people on my side, and they pushed me to make permanent. And that's what I got a year and a half in. Finally got made permanent. And then I got got promoted, I think, the following year. And then 2 years after that, last year, I got promoted again, and now I've been here 5 years. So,
congratulations!
Yeah. So,
Julie.
From the very bottom to the from a much positive, much more positive place.
What a great climb story! It's a really great climb that you're on. What's kept you going through all the tough times, through all the worrying times, through all the uncertainties?
I seem to be quite a very positive person.
Sure.
I always think, don't worry about things you can't control.
Okay.
It will happen. It will be what will be kind of thing. I just like, right, okay, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to go for it. Whatever happens, happens. And it's just that attitude. And also I'm very organized. And if something doesn't work out, I'm like, right, okay, let's see what else can I do. What's my next goal? What else can I do to improve? And also people. Again, favorite word. I built very close relationships with people here from different offices as well. A girl started similar time to me, or shortly after, and she was also temp.
Okay.
So we shared each other's stories or our worries or... and it was someone in a similar situation to me, so I could relate to her. I had a buddy.
You had a buddy.
And she's still one of my closest friends.
That's really nice.
Yeah, she's really nice. So she's based in Manchester, so I only see her every so often. But I think, yeah, just having that support network, because she was the same situation, really helped as well. So we might skip each other, being like, how are you doing? That kind of thing, just checking in. So, yeah. People, my attitude, and remain focused and organized is probably the three things.
That's really great to hear. And for our listeners as well, many people are going to be resonating with at least parts of your story, and for some, all of your story,
yeah.
of thinking that I've got my life mapped out to, oh no, this is turning out yeah. completely not to plan. Yeah. What do I do?
Always have a plan B.
Always have a plan B. Yeah. Did you have a plan B or did you work
nope.
your plan B
I
out?
I worked my plan B
you
out.
You worked your plan yeah. B out. Okay. I'm curious, what would your message or story from your life be to the world? You know, if I walked into the airport past the bookstore and looked at the bestseller shelf and there was a book, The Life of Joni Craigie, what
it's a
would
scary
you
thought.
Is that the title? It's a scary
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, scary thought. That almost ties in actually.
What would the title be?
I have two messages, two stories. Number one, never give up.
Never give up.
I know that's I think people probably heard that before, but yeah, never give up. Even when things are looking really down, really negative, pick yourself back up, surround yourself with people, your warriors for your side, your followers.
Sure.
Because there'll always be someone there that will support you, especially if you support them and have that that group, that kind of connection. And also number two, find yourself. As well, what makes you tick? What, because it's so like at uni as well, it's such a broad subject. Whatever you're studying, there's so many different aspects to that job, but you don't realize until you get into the workplace. And embrace every opportunity that comes your way, and you never know what you might discover about yourself. Because yeah, I didn't realize how passionate I was about people or building up a team. As such, until outside of uni, really, until I got into a workplace and a job that I thrived on.
Sure.
And that built up my confidence, and then I found myself after that.
Amazing.
So that would be my top tips to everyone.
Amazing. Okay, well, last question. Mm-hmm. What are you excited about right now?
Two things for me, short term. I'm focusing on my skill set. I want to sharpen my tools.
Okay.
Because I don't want to plateau or stay at the same place. I think it's always important to learn, keep on growing. What else can I do? What else can I develop? How else can I develop myself?
Love that. It's a growth mindset.
Growth mindset.
Growth mindset. Right
and number two is in, well, a bit of a longer term, maybe the next 5 years, is to be an inspiring manager. Obviously, I love wow. working with people. So if I could have a team to build them up, to be successful and develop themselves, that'll be my next kind of long-term goal.
Sounds so good. Sounds so good.
Hopefully.
And your eyes are just lighting up as you're talking about mm-hmm. this. So what I'm picking up from you is that people are your passion, that
yeah.
connections really matter, and you know what it means to not be connected and therefore the importance of being connected.
Yeah, that's probably my main learning in life, is probably that. Yeah, your connections, your people, it's very important, because I don't think every team works better if everyone is comfortable with them and themselves and has someone they look up to, or someone that supports them. Because if you have a lack of support, it's you'll put that person will probably leave mm. if they don't have that. They don't feel part of a team. They don't feel like their skills are getting used. They don't feel as though appreciated. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that you recognize the people around you and what inspires them.
Sure. Sure. Joni, thank you so much.
I'm
really glad that we've been able to have this conversation. I just want to honour you for being such a bubbly and connectable person. I think that you do actually light up a room when you walk into it, and I think people around you feel better for it. So please keep doing that.
Keep being a light bulb.
Friends, there you have it. Surviving tough times, never giving up, and pursuing your identity. That was a conversation with Joni Craigie. Now, next week, we're talking about focusing on your priorities. So if you like the sound of that content and more, click subscribe so you never miss a podcast episode. You can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Tarika UK, and you can learn more about my services at my website at drtarika.com. With that said, it leaves me to say that you are amazing. There's treasure in you. So wherever you are, be exceptional, be the change, and I'm looking forward to spending time with you in the next episode. Bye.